is Brandon on with the first episode of The Scoop. First off, I'd like to thank everyone who helped make this happen just kidding. It's just me. I'm doing this all on my own. So today we have a very special guest. Can we get your name, please?
My name's Elias.
Elias. Elias, do you have a last name, Elias?
Not at the moment.
That's all right. It's like Cher. You just have the one name.
I think it's more iconic in the industry.
Right. Yeah. No. People really like recognize that. You know, you got to go for simplicity today, I think. So many people are doing all these rapper names, especially, like, they just keep getting longer. Like Lil Uzi Vert. Like that's three names already.
Three names in one. You know.
Exactly. But you've got one name in one, which is great. Elias, do you want to tell the people a bit about what you do?
Sure. So I'm a composer, and I compose in kind of like a new age jazz kind of fusion.
Mm-hmm.
I started out about 20 years ago. I got into theater. Professionally, I am a stage manager.
Okay.
But I left that about 3 months ago.
Right.
And I've been really trying to flex my creative muscles and get word out there.
I see. So where did you start off with stage managing? Like let's delve into that past a little bit. Just see where you come from so we can kind of see where you're going.
Okay. So I grew up in a small town in the GTA.
Mm-hmm. GTA is the Greater Toronto Area for those who are not Canadian or who are not in the know.
Yes. Thank
the
you.
The six.
I don't think anyone calls it the six.
That have you listened to the radio recently? Have you?
I mean,
you heard that Drake guy? Have you heard of him?
The Drake guy?
The Drake guy.
He's the one with the apartment building, right?
I think so.
All right,
but yeah, small neighborhood in the GTA. You're saying?
Yeah. And then I went downtown Toronto, studied technical theater,
right?
For 3 years. And then I kind of took a break, traveled the world a bit, and then I came back because Toronto is where...
It's where it all started.
It is.
It all began. So what got you into theater then? What really appealed to you about theater?
First off, I really work well under pressure. In fact, unless it's the night before anything, I just won't do stuff. Mm. And... being in
a bit of a procrastinator.
Yeah.
I see.
More than a bit, but yeah. So working in this kind of high pace, quick pace, situation allows me to really flourish. And I'd say in terms of strengths, organization is pretty high up on there.
Yeah. Totally.
And when everything's on the line, I can really get stuff done and I really enjoy it.
I see. That's really interesting. So knowing that then, how does that manifest itself in your music today?
In my music today, I compose mostly on the piano. And I think that one of the greatest things that I've ever done to help my composition is to give myself time limits. I say, I'm going to come up with a piece by the end of next week.
Right.
And no matter how that piece turns out, that is that piece.
I see.
And after that point, I'll keep refining it and maybe turn it into something else or something new. But that piece is still there.
Okay. So not like a hard deadline, like a deadline before you have a rough draft or something.
Yeah,
like
it's kind
that.
Of like a rough draft. And then I'll work out the kinks later.
Right.
I might return to that rough draft and take it in a totally new direction at some point later. Mm-hmm.
Back to the drawing board.
Exactly.
That's cool because I know a lot of artists really, really take their time with projects that they come out with. Like, Frank Ocean just put out.
Didn't he put out two albums?
He put out two albums, but it's been a very, very long time. It's been literally years. You know, people have been waiting for this. Sometimes I really wish more artists would do that sort of thing where they'd give themselves a deadline and then stick by it. But going back to something you were talking about earlier, you said you traveled the world a little bit after you started your theater career. So where are some of the places that you went?
So I when I was growing up, I had a fascination with Ireland. So, of course, that was my first stop. Mm-hmm. And I stayed in Ireland for about a year and a half, working in a small local theater company, helping them in their tech department. And I lit.
Oh, so the traveling was work related, though. It was you were traveling the world doing theatrical work.
It was a mix. I didn't go there intending to get a job. I just wanted to.
You just found it.
Well, I knew I would need to work at some point, and I fell in love with the little town that I went to, and
mm-hmm. What town was that?
It was just outside of Dublin.
Right. Well, what was the name of that town?
Why do you put me on the spot?
Oh, it's okay if you don't remember.
I don't know. I worked with this small theater company. It was about half people passionate about theater and half seniors trying to get out and do something.
Oh, okay. But, I see.
So it wasn't the big leagues, of course.
Right. But sometimes you need to, like really, really rein it in, bring it back.
And working in such a small scenario really allowed me to kind of branch out mm-hmm. and try a whole lot of things, because I think as someone who is a show runner who needs to delegate tasks, before you can delegate, you need to know the tasks that you're delegating.
Right. So that's how you would see yourself in this sort of position then, like as a show runner, not necessarily as a, like you're more of a big picture guy, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Currently, before I left the theater, mm-hmm. I was working on a production, a musical production, and our crew was about 30 people strong. Wow. So it was quite a big setup.
Yeah, I see. So you mentioned that you came back to the GTA after traveling and doing theater, but has your music brought you anywhere? Have you gone to any different countries to play?
I've never been a performer. I don't know. When I'm on stage, I'd rather be behind the stage, you know?
Right.
And I think that to a certain extent, that is where my place is. Mm-hmm. But I'm really glad that I've taken the time off. And now I'm pursuing kind of composition, and that way I can flex my creative muscles.
Yeah, no, definitely. So I'm assuming then most of your playing is happening in like the GTA is what you're doing, or is it that you're mostly recording, not doing live shows, or?
I compose usually at home, and sometimes I'll have some friends over and play for them and get their opinion of things.
Right.
A lot of my work hasn't been performed publicly, mm-hmm. and it's for kind of small orchestra kind of scenario, so it would take a little bit of effort to put something together.
Okay.
And I don't really have the connections just yet to pull something like that off.
Yeah. So when you say, a lot of your work hasn't been shown publicly, how much do you have sort of backed up? Like, what sort of numbers are we dealing with here?
Well, I'd say, honestly, the last 10 years or so, I've been working on pieces. It's been very hard because the theater is every night you're either doing rehearsals or you're performing.
It takes
and then
up
you
a
get,
lot of time.
Man. I don't know, 2-3 weeks off, and then you're right into the next show. Mm-hmm. And it's you work days, you work nights, you work weekends. Yeah. So
you work Hanukkahs.
Yep.
Yeah. So the past 10 years of your life, you've been doing this. I suppose you could say like not part time, but sort of
it was more of a hobby.
Yeah,
I would definitely say.
And now it's really coming into like the mainstream of your life. Would you say that's cool?
I tried to do it concurrently with the theater, and it just wasn't working out. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to explore it, and I just couldn't find the time.
Right. So in terms of music, then I know you said you did some like theater schooling in Toronto, but what's your music background like? Have you been playing music? Well, you've been playing music for at least 10 years, but before that, how did that start?
My mother's a concert cellist.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I have that connection that way, and of course, with musicians in the family, learning music from a young age was a must, mm-hmm. and I didn't really study it classically or in school or anything, but I did have like extracurricular music lessons that my parents made me follow through until I was in my late teens.
Okay, I see. And what do you think of those music lessons now? I mean, you might not have appreciated them when you were a kid, but...
Absolutely. Looking back on them, I am very glad. Mm. It, music theory is hard to get through. It's like taking a brick to the head. But
right.
But yeah. Once you're there, just the horizons open up. And I'm still not 100% there, you know? That's why I love jazz so much, because it's a challenge. It really is to wrap your head around, especially with, I would say, an incomplete library of theory.
Right. So that's interesting. Like, what would you say, or what genre would you say most of the things you're composing falls under then? Because at first I sort of thought you were more on the classical side of things, with, you know, concert cellist background, your mom, and then you know, you said you're arranging for like small orchestras. But now we're talking about jazz, right? So where do you identify on this sort of spectrum?
I really like to... I like the label of New Age. Mm. I think that encompasses a lot of different things.
Yeah, it's a very broad label.
Yeah, and I like kind of more orchestral jazz. And from being in the theater, I've picked up like show tune style jazz as well,
right?
And of course that works its way into what I compose. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a very, very interesting mix of sort of genres, which I think a lot of people would be excited about. So I know that you said a lot of your music hasn't been heard publicly, but what would you say is the worst reception you ever had to a piece, like the worst that you've ever bombed, even if it's like just with friends or like with family? Like, what was the worst reaction you ever had to a piece?
I actually, this is what made me realize that I should not be the one to perform my own compositions.
okay.
I was playing a cocktail event, and I had with me a four-part string section, and I was on the piano.
Okay.
And
what else is in that, was in that string section then?
I had two violins and a cello and a bass.
I see. Okay.
And the event went well, but I didn't do too well. I was thinking too much about what everyone else was doing, and I didn't focus enough on my own keys.
And I see. That's something you really want to do when you're playing piano.
Yeah, I really just wanted to conduct, and the multitasking wasn't there. I need to devote my attention to one or the other. So,
I see. Okay, well, you heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. The worst performance that our friend Elias has ever had. We're going to take a quick little break, but we will be right back. Stay tuned. Alrighty, and we're back on The Scoop. My name is Brandon Ahn. I am your host, and we are here with Elias. We were just talking about his worst performance ever, which is always a fun thing to recount. But now we're going to go into our speed round. So, Elias, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions very quickly. You're really going to have to think on your feet for this one. Are you ready?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Boxers or briefs?
Absolutely briefs.
Favorite color?
Orange.
Favorite type of bird?
Ooh, canary.
Pen or pencil?
Pen.
Favorite number?
16.
Xbox or PlayStation?
Neither.
Summer or winter?
Winter.
Kim Kardashian or Beyonce?
Beyonce, absolutely.
Favorite sport?
Sports ball.
Your celebrity crush?
Ooh, that's a hard one. Daft Punk.
Oh,
both
right.
of them.
Mac or PC?
Mac.
Netflix or chill?
I'll take Netflix.
Gary Johnson or Jill Stein?
Jill Stein.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Pepsi or Coke?
Coke.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Vanilla, please.
Cake or pie?
I'll take cake.
Wine or beer?
Wine.
Crushed ice or cubed ice?
Oh, that's a tough one.
I really put a lot of thought into these.
Cubed.
Cubed?
Yeah.
Okay. Fruits or vegetables?
Veggies.
Sausage or bacon?
Bacon.
Drive or ride, like riding shotgun?
I'd rather drive.
Cats or dogs?
Cats.
Pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
Numbers or letters? Right. This is what I was like. I Googled like a list of these and I was like, that's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. You don't have to answer that one. Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset.
Peanut butter or jam?
Jam.
Spicy or mild?
Spicy.
Bagels or muffins?
Bagels.
Raisins or nuts?
Nuts.
And stripes or polka dots?
Polka dots.
I see. Okay. Well, very good job. You completed the speed
Thank
round.
You.
There were some interesting answers in there. Do you want to maybe discuss a couple
of
those?
Yeah, if you'd like to. Actually, can I remand my answer?
Yeah,
for
sure.
pancakes or waffles?
Yeah.
Personally, I'd rather go with a crepe because they don't bloat
right.
you.
We are we are in the great city of Montreal right now. Thank you for coming all the way out here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, there's have you been for crepes out here?
Not here, no.
Not here, you really should. You really, really should. Yeah, my parents were up last year, and we went to, I can't even remember where it was, but that was the first time I'd had crepes in the city, and my dad got this Nutella banana crepe, and my dad for those who don't know. My father is very Asian, does not like sweet things a whole lot. So he orders this banana Nutella crepe, and the thing is just loaded with Nutella. Like, it's literally like the crepe is like, you know, crepes are thin, right? The crepe's this big. There's a layer of Nutella like this thick on it. And he's just like, just hacking away at it, and he let me have like half of it or something. But yeah,
was that because he doesn't like sugar?
Yeah, or? Yeah, he really like he doesn't like anything that's too sweet. I was like, why did you get grapes then? But yeah, no, it was good though. It was good. Yeah, there are a lot of really really solid crepe places here.
You have to send me a list.
Yeah, for sure. If any of our viewers have any favorite crepe places, feel free to comment them on this.
Isn't it a radio?
This podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but that's interesting that you'd rather take crepes, because I know I'm very much a pancake person. I have never, my roommate and I had this discussion earlier today, actually. He's a very pro waffle type.
Okay. Yeah.
He's very pro waffle. And I was saying pancakes, you know, I had a lot of good pancakes as a kid, but I always had really shitty waffles. And I think like I was never.
Wait,
like,
are these like toaster waffles or waffles in a press?
I was about to say they're like Eggos.
Oh,
like that's
okay.
What I had.
Okay. That's not a waffle.
You know,
though.
And I know I've had real waffles now, and maybe it's just because I had the really bad ones first, but I think even good waffles are still not as good as good pancakes.
Okay.
And that's the other thing too. I've never had a pancake I didn't like. Also,
yeah, it's hard to make a pancake that people don't like.
Yeah, because not to disparage my mother's cooking or anything, but oftentimes when she would make pancakes, they wouldn't really turn out as pancakes. They would be more crepe-like. But that's the worst case scenario. Is that it's not a pancake, it's a crepe, and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, like it just turns into something else that's good. Like, all right. Yeah. Favorite crepe toppings then? What do you like on your crepes?
Personally, I go for raspberries when I can.
Raspberries.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, what about strawberries?
Strawberries are a little sweeter, and you also have to cut them up first because they come
true.
Pretty big. That's so,
true. I don't know. I've never really found strawberries to be that sweet, though. Maybe I'm just having low quality strawberries also, but I always get more of like a sour.
Yeah, well, you have to get them like straight from the farm, you know?
Oh,
because
yeah,
you gotta
sneak into the field and pick them yourself.
Well, you don't have to sneak. You pay like $5. And
they let you in with a basket.
I
forgot about that.
Yeah, it's like pick your own. But they, when you get them from the grocery store, they gas them so that they turn red before they're ripe, so that you just pick all of the strawberries and don't leave all the green ones behind. So I think, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure most of the time you're just eating unripe strawberries.
That's gotta be it. Yeah. All right. Well, if you don't mind, we can move on to the next section. Is there anything else you want to talk about here? I know.
I don't know anything that jumped off the page.
Oh, the celebrity crush, the Daft Punk.
Oh yeah,
so,
yeah.
So is this actually you're like attracted to Daft Punk, or is it like they're like an idol or like someone
it's,
you?
It's
look
definitely
up to?
The latter.
Okay. Because I heard that and I was like, is that what you're into? Is
that hey,
is just two men and help.
They really did inspire me in their fusion of genres and blending in all these different kind of analog synths with like funk guitars and just blending stuff and marrying it and creating a new sonic experience that is widely appealing is an incredible feat to accomplish.
Yeah, and they're like they're old too. They've been doing this for a while, which is really, really cool. And you know, they're still active today, still releasing a lot of stuff. So yeah, definitely someone to look up to, I think.
For sure.
But are there any other musical influences that like come up off the top of your head?
Well, as I was saying earlier, I did travel the world, and I really think that the music that I encountered in all these different spaces across Europe and around Canada, because depending on where you go, you get different like niches.
Yeah,
know?
Definitely.
And I think that everywhere I went, I picked up a little bit of that place.
Oh, you took a little bit of it with you.
Yeah.
I see. That's really interesting.
And I mean, I hope that comes out, because I think that that's the true essence of originality. It's where you come from and what you bring to the table.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, well, this is a nice little segue into the next segment. This segment, we're going to kind of flip things on their head, and we're going to ask like some really deep, really like soul-searching questions.
All right.
So I think that naturally the first one then is like you were talking about originality, and you know, you think that's the essence of like originality is what you said. And I think some people though would say like, you know, nothing is really original anymore. If you're just taking a bit from here, then you're just sort of like copying a lot of different things, right? What do you think of that?
I think that to a certain extent that's true. I mean, there are no new stories. There are no new songs. There are no new melodies. It's just how you execute these themes that you've heard before, how you bring them together and create something that hasn't been heard before.
Right. And I think... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think that when you successfully pull that off, to me, that's original.
Hmm. So as an artist, then that's what you're aspiring towards then, is to successfully pull that off? That's what you are aiming to do?
Yeah, yes.
I see. Okay. Because, yeah, the other side of that coin, and what a lot of people say is like, well, actually, like, there are always going to be new stories. There's always going to be new melodies. Like, even, right, the alphabet is 26 letters. Yet people can still write books that haven't been written before. You know, like there's still a lot of people would argue we still have something left. Like you can still sort of expand outside of what we already have. And that's why, like, I think a lot of people are doing such weird stuff, like, especially with the internet and everything. There's so much going on, you know, that we haven't we haven't seen anything like it. And I mean, you see this in like a lot of smaller scenes, like there's on SoundCloud or and on Bandcamp, right? There's this guy called Jerry Paper, who's like, maybe I'll play one of his songs later, but he writes like, his persona is like, he's like an android, but he writes love songs, you know? And that's something that's like, who would have done that? Like that, like that's pretty original, right?
Yeah, I'd think so. I mean, when I said that there are no new stories, I meant you do have to strip things down a little bit and get to the essence of it.
Oh, so you're saying like at its core, like
at its core, yeah. There's, of course, you can put different details in,
all the bells and
put
whistles,
some flares in, but
some flares,
not like a highway flare. But I think that when you embellish on a story, you can make it something original.
Okay, so through the embellishing is like
when that's you make that's when the originality line. Comes. Yes.
Okay, I see. Next question then. So this is something we sort of already talked about a little bit, but this is sort of bringing it even more personal. So what would you say your favorite place is? And this can be like, this could be a vacation place. So you could talk about Ireland again, or it could be like a specific room in your home or somewhere that you know, encountered in your past or went to in your past. Anything. Favorite place.
I think my favorite place is the green room at any stage, any place you go. There's always that one rehearsal room where people just kind of, that's where they are.
Yeah.
And there, it has this really weird energy about it because some of them might be in character, some of them might not be, and they're all just kind of there existing in this state of, I'm waiting for something. And anytime one of my shows, I walk in to the green room and it's while the show is going on, and I walk in and you get such a weird energy in the room, and it's just nothing like you've ever experienced before.
Yeah, I think like it almost seems like it's half excitement because, you know,
you've got the nerves going.
Yeah, the nerves are all going, but also, I don't know, what would you describe the other half of that as? Because it's definitely not just that, the excitement or the nervousness. I feel like there's almost something else underneath it or kind of weaved in with it.
There's a love for the experience. I mean, I think that's the greatest thing about theater is that no matter what role you fill, whether you're an actor, whether you're with the crew.
You're a tree in the background.
Yeah, I was a tree in grade school.
Were you?
Funny story, but we're not going there.
Okay. Another time.
Yeah, I really think that everyone does come together, and you get some people who are in their first performance, some people who've been doing this for 2.5 decades and they bring a different energy to the space and it all mixes together.
Right. And that's really interesting to hear you say, because this is something I hadn't thought about before, but you know, theater is such a collective act where there are so many moving parts and people doing different jobs and all of these sorts of things. And then music, especially composing, you're saying you don't even do shows, you do most of the composing in your house, is, you know, the exact opposite. It's all very inward and it's just one person doing
something. That was the biggest shock for me. And I'm still, I think, trying to get used to it. I may never be used to it, but working with a production company, you're always surrounded by people. Yeah. And I may not have known all of them. I may not have known most of them, but we were still a unit. We were still working towards that same goal. And you see these people like 10, 11 hours a day, every day for months. And they're just people all the time. And now I'm in my home alone most of the time. And it's weird, to say the least. I definitely feel that my creative energy in certain ways has more freedom because my mind isn't occupied thinking about all these other things, worrying about other people. But at the same time, I also feel like my creative energy is on hold a little bit because of that separation from people. So it's this weird interplay.
Yeah, sort of like this odd, like, little paradox going on. It's kind of, yeah. So this might be related. This might not be related. It's sort of what I was leading into. But what would you say your worst fear is then? And it could be related to, you know, music or theater or performance, or it could be, you know, something else entirely.
I think my worst fear, apart from those giant Australian spiders I saw on the internet the other day, those are crazy.
I think I might have seen the same picture, like the big gray one in the...
Yeah, yeah.
With like the... Yeah.
Now I'm thinking about... Let's go back to your question. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the question is... What's your...
okay, apart from those, I am most afraid of not achieving success. And I mean... I think everyone's a little bit afraid of that, but especially in the world of music, and it doesn't have to be like success in conventional terms. It doesn't have to be money, signing a record deal, anything like that. I'm just worried that I'm going to have dropped theater. I'm going to do music and I won't learn anything.
Right. Yeah. I think a lot of artists make that mistake, especially when they're, you know, first venturing into the world of music. A lot of people kind of let others define their own success instead of defining it themselves and for what, like, it means for them. So what's more of your definition of success? Like, I mean, obviously there's the whole learning things aspect, but is there anything more or anything else that would sort of show that you're being successful to you?
To me, I need to be able to get something out of it. And I think that when I sit down and I try and compose a piece, there's a lot more going into it than just good sound. I know my circle of fifths, a lot of people can read a circle of fifths, create something that sounds appealing to your ear, but the music needs to tell a story. It needs to take you somewhere. It needs to change the status quo. By the time you're done listening to a composition, something in you has changed. And if that's not the case, then I wouldn't, if that happened to me, that wouldn't be a very successful piece.
Right. I see. Another question. What's your Patronus? This one's a little bit lighter.
Okay. I don't know. I would like to think that my Patronus is a cat. It's not a very noble or conspicuous animal, but it's got nothing on Harry's stag. Is it a stag?
I think so. Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it really has been. So a cat, is there any specific kind of cat? There are a lot of different kinds of cats.
Yeah, so. No, not a lion. a nice tabby, I think.
Okay.
Just very chill.
Mm-hmm.
And... I think that cats have an incredible wisdom. Somehow
wisdom they may or may not share with
somehow they manage to work their way through life doing not much and having a great time. I'd like to be a cat someday.
Yeah, I see. Okay. So if
in another life.
yeah. If you get reincarnated, is that what you're
picking?
Okay. I see. What do you wish you had more time for? Because you seem to be a really, very busy guy. I mean, I would think that when you were doing theater, it would probably have been music that you wished you had more time for. But now that you're doing music like full time, what do you wish you had more time for?
Well, I'm going to come back at you and say theater.
Oh, really?
It breaks my heart that there isn't the space for me to do both.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could, I would. I can't tell you how much it would mean to me to be able to pursue everything. Right. I know that's asking a lot, but I don't know, not enough hours in the day.
Yeah.
So you have to prioritize.
Mm-hmm. So do you think then you're ever, do you think you're going to go back to theater at any point? Do you have any plans to do that? Or are you just sort of letting things run their course for now?
I'm invested in this music venture now. I do want to take this as far as I can go. Mm-hmm. And I really do want to explore the limits of what I can do musically. So for now, I'm not going to look back.
Right. Okay, great. Well, I think it's about time to move on to our next segment. My friend Dr. Joss Lewis is actually here, and he's going to come into the studio. I think he's just waiting outside. But yeah, Dr. Joss is like the definitely one of the smartest people I know. He's a trained psychiatrist also.
Okay. Are you going to ask me questions about...
Yeah, he's... I apologize in advance. He's like a bit of an invasive guy, as you know, people...
I'm sure that's an effective quality in a psychiatrist.
Oh, absolutely. It really has. Dr. Joss has helped me many, many times in the past. I'm very grateful that he's here today. And also, I'm going to be out of the room, actually. Just, you know, so you have that, like... doctor-patient confidentiality
on radio.
Even though this podcast is going out to the public. So I'll be right back.
All right.
Okay. Hello.
Hi there. You must be.
Hello, I'm Dr. Joss.
Dr. Joss.
I'm
Elias.
Elias, right. Yes, sorry. I have not been listening in on the. How do you call.
Recording?
Radio show, whatever this is. Yes, I'm sure Brandon introduced me.
He said you were a psychiatrist.
Okay, yes, the people know. I am Dr. Joss Lewis of the Joss Lewis Academy for Psychiatry and Other Sciences. So, Elias, tell me, is there anything on your mind that's been bothering you recently?
Well, I mean, I still haven't really found my niche in music. I recently... made a leap of faith, mm-hmm. I guess, from the theater world. I was a stage manager with a production in Toronto.
You managed the stage.
I did, yes, and the backstage.
And oh.
And I made a transition from theater to composing music full time, and that's not something I'd ever dreamed of I would be doing.
Right.
So.
When you wake up in the morning, what is the first thing you think of?
I think of.
Is there anything that's recurring? Or is it just blank?
I wake up with a lot of anxiety.
Mm.
Which, I mean, in your professional opinion, that might be a good thing, might be a bad thing. For me, it is a motivator.
Mm.
It is.
What do you mean a motivator? Motivates you to
compose.
To do what? Yes.
I wake up in the morning.
That's
and
good. That's good in that case. Then.
I try and find it in me to. Push myself forward, and knowing that nothing will happen unless I really give it my full effort, my full attention, that lets me push through any kind of fears that I might have.
Yes, well, to me, it seems like you have a very good, foundation for all the things that... that you are trying to do, that you will aspire to do. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
You wake up and you want to compose, which is something many artists struggle with. We have lots of artists that come to the academy being like, oh, Dr. Joss, please help me be a better musician. And I tell them, to go away, I tell them to, I charge them exorbitant amounts of money, you know, but I think you, if you came to the academy, I would tell you to go away because it seems like you have this already figured out. So maybe some of these obstacles may be up here.
So that's a good thing then?
Yes, I would say so because, you know, when these obstacles manifest themselves in a much more physical sense, that preventing you from composing and such, that's a real, more difficult problem to fix, yes?
Absolutely. I would agree
right,
with you.
Right. So, that's good. Now, is there anything else? It doesn't have to be related to music. It could be a personal problem. You know, this is all confidential between the two of us.
And all the listeners.
Well, it's confidential at the moment. It won't be when this is released, I assume. But,
well,
you know, anything that's very pressing right now that won't matter in the future. You know, that sort of thing.
One of my close friends, we've worked together for a number of years at the theater. I'm concerned about our relationship because I left in the middle of a show and
a performance or
while the show was running, not.
Oh, okay. That I was about to say, that's a dick move.
Thanks. I think I needed that.
In the middle of rehearsing is what
I mean. Well, the show had already opened.
Oh. And so during the
yes,
but not during a performance. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
But I really left her in the lurch, and we still speak, but I feel terrible. And
right. Well, why is it that you left then? Or why do you think you couldn't continue to do this?
It was a question of time commitment. If I wanted to do anything important in the musical world, I needed to get away.
Because this is,
theater takes up so much of your time.
Right before you started doing music.
I was doing it on the side. But I had reached a point where I couldn't really take it further without investing more time that I didn't have.
I see. Well, it seems to me that, of course, this event is in the past, and we cannot go back and change the past, as you evidently know. But we can change the way we perceive things and the way we do things in the future. So it seems to me that this is something you wanted to do for a long time, this music, and eventually it got to a, how do you say, breaking point where you could not stand to work in the theater anymore. Is this correct?
Yes.
And then you said, no, I'm going to go do my music. You went out the door. You got on the floor. Everyone walked the dinosaur. And you just went and did the music.
Well, don't get me wrong here. I do love the theater. Mm. And being a stage manager was my dream job. So I didn't give it up lightly.
Right. But I do think that it would benefit you to be more honest with yourself because...
Honest about what?
Honest in the sense that it seems to me, at least, that for some time you were thinking you wanted to go do this music thing, but you were still working in the theater and you were scared of leaving this dream job, as you called it. But if you were completely honest with yourself, you would have known that this is what you had to do earlier, and you wouldn't have put this friend of yours in this position, yes?
Perhaps.
If you had earlier gone to your second career, as one might call it.
I could have. It was a thing that could have happened, but... Mm-hmm.
But, well, of course, it didn't, which is the way that things are right now. But honesty with the self is always a very, very important thing to have, I think. And this is something that I very often say to my people that I speak with. Anyway, I think that is probably all the advice I can give you at the moment anymore, and I would have to charge you a fee. I will go outside and bring Brandon back in right now. I hope I helped. It was very nice to meet you,
Dr. Joss.
Elias. All right.
Whew.
How's that?
He had some heavy questions.
Yeah. That's Dr. Joss for you. Okay, cool. So,
very strange man.
But in the best way, I think. I think he really brings a lot of depth and weight to everything he talks about. Anyway, so now we're going to go do bit more fun part of the show. This is back and forth. So basically, I'm going to play you a song that we'll all get to listen to, and we can talk about it a little bit. Then you can play a song, and we'll go back and forth. How does that sound?
All right.
Okay. So actually, I'm going to ask you another question just while I get the song queued up.
Absolutely.
You can talk about it a little bit. If you could speak another language, what language would it be and why?
Oh, that is a very difficult question. I think that just from a classical music perspective, speaking Italian would be very beneficial.
Oh, right. Yeah, that does make sense.
But I just out of pure interest, I would love to learn a language, any language that doesn't share any of the structure with English, French, all these kind of, what are they called?
Like
Latin,
grammar?
Latin-based languages.
Oh. I guess
something totally
Western
different.
Languages.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we've got our song queued up. All right. I hope it's not too loud. Can you hear that?
I do, yeah.
Should we keep going?
No, we should keep going.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Who disagrees?
How long is this song?
There's just 1 minute left.
Okay.
Right. We can make it. We can make it. Okay, yeah. So I apologize to everyone listening at home. I'm sorry to put you through that. this is Philosophy of the World by The Shags. So first impressions.
I think that when you look past the instrumentation of the song, there's a lot there.
Yeah?
I mean, it's a very, very literal song that describes something that we can't really put words on.
Mm.
And
so just like lyrics wise then, or
yeah, lyrically.
Okay.
For now. right. I think that there are so many people who aren't happy with where they are and they just don't realize you can hear the words so many times, but you don't realize that everyone else is also unhappy with what they've got.
Right.
Even as you are striving towards their, what they have, something that someone else has, you look up to them, you want to do that thing with your life. Mm. And then you get there and you're like, well, that's great.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Cause well, to give a bit of background, so the Shags are, it's like this, as you can see here, this 3-piece, female band, who were kind of pressured into doing this whole thing by their father. Basically, yeah, their father is very strict and didn't let them listen to music at all as kids.
Oh.
So then he was like, okay, well, you should learn these instruments and make a band and write songs. And this is a song they wrote as well. So...
Wow,
it's interesting that it
changes my interpretation of the piece right there.
they had all the skills, they knew how to play the instruments, but they just didn't know what music sounds like, and this is what sort of came out of that. So yeah, it's something that has like a lot going on underneath the surface, but yeah, it was cool to hear your first impression of it. So we are kind of running out of time a little bit. Do you want to play a song? You can play a song if you want, or we can move on.
Sure. I have my phone here.
Yeah. Actually. Okay. Perfect.
Let me see if I can queue up. I won't play the whole song because it's like a 7-minute composition, but this is by Yanni.
Okay.
And I don't know if you know Yanni. I grew up on Yanni.
The name doesn't sound familiar, but we'll see, I suppose.
He's kind of one of the more prominent... artists in the new age kind of spectrum.
Okay.
And
so maybe another influence then, I suppose?
Yes, I would say so.
Okay, interesting. Let's hear it. Very excited. Some Yanni, ladies and gentlemen.
This might make a noise. There we go. So this song is called Rain Must Fall.
Okay.
I think one of my favorite parts about this song is the lovely tone of the electric bass, and it just sits really nicely in the mix. It's not an instrument you really hear in like a big band scenario, so
yeah,
it's
definitely
very exciting to listen to.
Oh yeah, it really, really blends in there. It doesn't stand out too much.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, we don't have to play the whole song.
Oh, no, I mean, I made you listen to 3 minutes of The Shags, so play for as long as you want.
Why don't you turn it down, and then you can give me your impressions of it over top. Or do I need,
to turn it down on your end?
On my end, all right.
Yeah.
There you go.
But yeah, no, I really enjoy this. I mean, as you were saying, the bass, it's like in an interesting place in the mix. I think different than a lot of other compositions where it's like really a sort of driving force. Like people always think of it as like that, and the drums is like the heartbeat of a track. But this is very different. It's like it's not a heartbeat. It's like a pulse. It's obviously the same function, but like it's sort of different. It's not as heavy. It's like it's sort of removed from that and in a different place, which I think is really cool. And yeah, obviously the composition is like complex too. There's a lot going on. Yeah, I like it a lot though.
Cool.
It's
cool. I'm glad you like it.
Some Yanni. And if your stuff sounds anything like this, I mean, we'd love to hear it. But
one of my many inspirations.
Yeah. Right on. All right, so I think we are going to move into our final segment, if that's all right with you. So we're just going to lighten things up a little bit for the end of the episode. So, we have some news headlines that I'm going to read to you.
All right.
And we can just talk about what's going on there, what you think about it. And these are real things that are happening in the world, by the way. These are real news headlines. Like, this is not from The Onion or anything like that. This is real news. So the first one. Oh yeah, and I'll read the article too if you want, but sometimes in some cases the headline will be enough.
All right.
Okay. Santa Claus speaks out against North Pole ban of marijuana sales. Do you want some more background on that?
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
You're gonna
pass me the laptop. You're just reading it. Okay.
All right, North Pole, Alaska. As communities across Alaska try to figure out how to handle the new legalized marijuana industry, many are opting out. In October, North Pole voters decided not to allow commercial marijuana businesses within city limits. That decision, however, has been met with disappointment from one of the city's most famous residents, Santa Claus. Santa Claus, formerly known as Thomas O'Connor, legally changed his name to Santa in 2005. He says the moniker helps with his work as a child advocate. It sounds ridiculous, but it's true. It helps, Santa says. So that's the first little bit of it.
Okay.
I
think we've got all the context we need there.
Yeah, I think so. That's some good journalistic writing, as it gives you everything you need.
I don't know. I think that the headline might be a bit of a misnomer.
It's literally his name,
but it led me to believe that he's not the one you hear about.
Yeah, he's one of those mall Santa Clauses.
Well, no, he doesn't have to dress up. He just has the same name.
Did you see this picture?
I thought that was a stock photo.
No,
is that a picture of like Santa Claus?
That's Santa Claus, because they live in the city of the North Pole in Alaska.
Identity theft a felony?
It's him. Okay. Next one.
Okay.
The next one. This is a Canadian one, so this applies to us a little bit more.
Wait, the North Pole isn't like. And what nation does that voting area belong to?
Well, North Pole, Alaska is Alaska, so it's the States. But
I must have missed that then. Sorry.
The actual North Pole is probably not under anyone's jurisdiction, I think.
Yeah.
And we have some stuff that's pretty close to there. But anyway, next one. Meeting on overcrowded schools sparsely attended. 15 people speak at consultation meeting on school enrollment and capacity.
Now that's just ironic. Where was this?
Yeah, this was in, just a sec. It's Charlottetown.
Charlottetown.
Yeah.
PI, Charlottetown, right? Rural.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, that kind of makes sense then.
But the schools are overcrowded though. They're like the
article says bursting at the seams.
Yeah.
And then 90 people show up, 15 speak to talk about.
I remember goodness. Must have been late 70s, early 80s. Mm-hmm. I was going to school and my school just had to keep being expanded.
Right.
I was there for 6 years.
And this is still in Toronto, is that right?
Yeah.
Right.
And I was there for 6 years and they had two expansions with one more planned just in the time that I was there.
Right. That's wild. That's some wild growth. But yeah. I guess with that era anyway, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
There's a lot of development. And I guess that's sort of the same thing that's happening in Charlottetown now. All right, last one. Firefighter injured after cat decides it does not want to be rescued from tree.
Well, I mean, I think that's just ironic. First of all, I don't understand why we have this trope of firefighters rescuing cats from trees.
Yeah, I always question that. Like, how often does that happen? Apparently often enough that this sort of thing happens.
Yeah, but though, like, so. also don't cats have A, 9 lives, and B, always land on their feet, so it doesn't matter?
That's true. I never thought of that.
I mean, just, I don't want to be mean to cats. I love cats,
yeah.
But like... They can figure
they can,
it out.
Yeah, they got up there. They can get down, dude.
Yeah.
All right, I lied. This is the last one.
Oh, okay.
Jake Butt becomes Michigan's tight end receiving leader.
Well, that's just clever wordplay.
I don't know, are you a football fan?
I'm not very much of a sports
person. Oh, right. You said sports ball. Right. Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, this is... A bit of a football joke then.
I mean, I also got the joke.
Okay, yeah, because butts, right?
Because butts.
Right. Okay, well, that's pretty much all I have to say. I don't know if there's anything you want to plug, anything you want to tell people that we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah.
The floor is all yours.
Thank you. So I've been working on a series of new compositions with kind of a bird-inspired theme, and hopefully I can get at least one or two of these pieces recorded with a proper studio session orchestra. And when that happens, that'll be coming out. And please find me on Bandcamp, find me on the internet.
Okay, yeah. When those do come out, feel free to contact us and we'll put it up. You know, right in the description of this, because this is going up on SoundCloud, I'm pretty sure. So
okay. We
can put like your link in the description there to your music.
That'll yeah, if you Google Elias music composition, you'll find me.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming in today, Elias. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Brandon.
Yeah, I really think this guy is coming up quickly in the music world.
I sure
hope
so.
Be on the lookout for his new releases. And that's all for The Scoop today, ladies and gentlemen. We will have a new episode next week. Please tune in then. And we will see you then.